Okay, then. That's a bit better. Last week I talked about Elijah and Elisha and the way that they illustrated the idea of being spiritual fathers and sons. And today I want to talk about Moses and Joshua and the grace of sonship as we see through Joshua's life. And there's a few different Bible passages today. We're sort of... I'll sit down at this point. Okay. I thought we were going to have to implement a divine fire upon all that let their phones ring in church policy, but it wasn't a ringing, so... There? God is American. It's a well-known fact. Okay. Exodus chapter 24 is our first reading. Not the whole chapter. I think I left my brain in Alstonville. I'm having trouble remembering where Exodus is in the Bible, which is really sad. Exodus 24, verses 12 to 18. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain." So the Israelites are in the desert, in the wilderness. They've got to cross the Red Sea, and they're working out where to go from there. So the Lord says to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain, stay there, and I'll give you the tablets of stone on which I've inscribed the instructions and commands so you can teach the people." So Moses and his assistant Joshua set out, and Moses climbed up the mountain of God. Moses told the elders, "Stay here and wait for us until we come back. Aaron and Hur are here with you. If anyone has a dispute while I'm gone, consult with them." Then Moses climbed up the mountain, and the Lord and the cloud covered it. And the glory of the Lord settled down on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, the Lord called to Moses from inside the cloud. To the Israelites at the foot of the mountain, the glory of the Lord appeared at the summit like a consuming fire. Then Moses disappeared into the cloud as he climbed higher up the mountain. He remained on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. And if you're not looking, not paying attention there, you miss out on something really important, that Joshua was with Moses when he went up the mountain. And we're not sure at which point Moses left Joshua behind, or whether Joshua actually carried on with him right into the cloud of God. But Joshua spent a lot of his time just hanging out with Moses. And that's one of the things about spiritual sons and fathers, is they spend time together. A few chapters over, in chapter 33, verses 7 to 11, we see the same thing happening. Where are we? Page before. Again, still in the desert, and Moses had set up this place called the Tent of Meeting, where he used to go and meet with God. This is what it says. It was Moses' practice to take the Tent of Meeting and set it up some distance from the camp. So everybody's camped over here in the main part, and dunnies are over there on the edge of camp, and, well, it tells you that in the Bible. It says set up your dunnies on the outside the camp. And over here on this edge, it might have been that edge or that edge, doesn't really matter, but Moses set up this special tent where he used to go to consult with the Lord. And it was a fairly regular sort of occurrence. So, we get this idea sometimes that Moses just had his thing with God on the Mount Sinai, where he got the Ten Commandments, which is the bit that we just read. But this was a regular occurrence that Moses used to go to the Tent of Meeting and to meet with God. It was Moses' practice to take the Tent of Meeting and set it up some distance from the camp. Everyone who wanted to make a request to the Lord would go to the meeting outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the Tent of Meeting, all the people would get up and stand in the entrance of their own tents. They would all watch Moses until he disappeared inside. As he went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and hover at its entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. When the people saw the cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they would stand and bow down in front of their own tents. Inside the tent of meeting, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Afterwards, Moses would return to the camp, but the young man who assisted him, Joshua, son of Nun, would remain behind him in the tent of meeting. So there, anybody could go to this tent of meeting to meet with God. But when Moses went, it was a big affair because the cloud of God's presence would come down, and then Moses would meet with God face to face, talk to him like an old friend, and then Moses would come, the cloud of God's presence would lift, but Joshua would stay there. Why? Because he wanted to experience the presence of God in the same way that Moses did. So all the way through Exodus and the other books of the Old Testament there, the Numbers and Leviticus and the rest of them, you always find Joshua hanging out with Moses. And that's the first thing about spiritual sons today. They're always hanging out with their spiritual fathers. They're not doing it for any self-promotion or anything. They're doing it because they love being with their spiritual father. It's like little kids like hanging out with their dads. They just love to do the things that dad's doing, whether dad likes it or not. They're there. I remember all our kids used to do it, but we used to have this kid in Hay called Matthew Crosley. And he'd run around behind, big gardening, and he'd be running around behind me going, "Mr. Bates, Mr. Bates," chatter, 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 "Mr. Bates, Mr. Bates." And it was always a great joy for me. And all our kids used to do that too when they were little. They don't do so much once they get cool and become teenagers, but it's a natural thing. Sons love to hang out with their fathers. Grant does it a bit. He hangs out with me a bit, and he's a good hanger out at Grant. He'll hang out with anybody pretty much that he likes, and often when we spend some time together, he'll head off. He'll say, "I'm going home now," by which he means he's going to go and have a chat with Tim. And about 3 hours later, Grant will go home. So it's a sort of relating thing that's just so important in building a relationship. Joshua was great with it with Moses. He just wanted to hang around with Moses, find out what made him tick, find out what was special about his relationship with God, find out everything he could about serving God. But the important thing is that it's about relationship. It's not about trying to get something out of it for yourself. When we used to go back to the Hillsong conferences years and years ago, I'd always go to the pastor's electives, and they'd always talk about serving another man's vision. And they'd talk there about how, if you want to be great and famous like whoever, then first of all, you've got to start off by serving another man's vision, and you've got to help them first, and then you get some of the anointing of God. But the bit they always omitted was the key bit, that it's about relationship. It's about loving the person that you're serving. It's not just about, carrying their Bible or driving their car or whatever it is. It's about being like a son to a father. And that was the thing that Joshua really got. I remember that nice guy that we liked from Queensland, the big name guy. I'm just improvising now, that's why I'm a bit vague on the details. Crosslink. He was Youth Alive in Queensland. Well, I was thinking somewhat shorter and more rotund. But he's one of these speakers that they get to Hillsong. But he used to talk about this guy that they had, who was like a spiritual son, and he said, you can have the keys to the boat and the car, and he used to go off and drive his boat. He wasn't really serious about letting him have the keys to the boat, but he made the offer, so he took him up on him. But they had this relationship. Yeah, I can't think what his name is. Alcorn. Yeah, I knew it was Wayne. Alcorn, that's him. See? Two heads. Only got half a brain each, so we need each other. So the first thing about this sonship, the grace of sonship thing is, I call it presence just for a name, you know, hanging out together, developing a relationship together, just enjoying each other's company, and some of the nature of the Father will rub off onto the Son. Secondly, partnership. I thought I had three P words, but I don't do alliteration really well, and end up the third topic starts with S. But anyway, presence and partnership. Exodus 17, 8 to 16. I just love this passage. There's so much in this particular one. Exodus 17. We're just sort of skipping around a bit. 8 to 16. Uh-oh. Oh, yes. Whew. Thought I had the wrong passage in. Exodus 17 from verse 8. While the people of Israel were still at Rephidim, which is the place where the water came out of the rock, everybody was grizzling because there was no water, and God said to Moses to whack his stick on the rock, and water came spewing out of it. And that was a place called Rephidim. And so they're still at this place. While the people of Israel were still at Rephidim, the warriors of Amalek attacked them. Moses commanded Joshua, "Choose some men to go out and fight the army of Amalek for us. Tomorrow I'll stand at the top of the hill holding the staff of God in my hand." So Joshua did what Moses had commanded and fought the army of Amalek. Meanwhile, Moses, Aaron and Hur climbed to the top of a nearby hill. As long as Moses held up the staff in his hand, the Israelites had the advantage, but whenever he dropped his hand, the Amalekites gained the advantage. Moses' arms soon became so tired he could no longer hold them up, so Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on. Then they stood on each side of Moses, holding up his hands, and so the hands held steady until sunset. As a result, Joshua overwhelmed the army of Amalek in battle. So there you got Moses, spiritual father, Joshua, spiritual son, working together to achieve a victory. Now, I first thought that was a bit rude, saying to Joshua, you know, gather up some men and you can go and fight the battle. But then I thought about it and I realised, well, Moses was in his 80s at this point. He was 80 when they left the Promised Land. So, you know, when you get to 80, you don't want to be out there fighting battles, I don't think. Not that I know, not being there yet, but I'm only 55 and I don't want to be out fighting battles, so I'm happy to send the young bloke out to do it. So Joshua fought the battle, but Moses didn't just leave him on his own. He stood there on top of the hill, he had his staff raised up, his arms raised up, and he was basically calling on the power of God to be with Joshua and his army to win that battle. And it says as Moses' arms grew tired and he pulled the staff down, the tide of battle turned the other way, and he needed Aaron and Hur to help hold his arms up until the battle was won. And that's the thing about spiritual fathers and sons. They often have different roles, but it's a partnership. So that, Moses wasn't able to go out and fight the battle himself, but he sent Joshua out. But Moses played his part in that project, which was prayer. Fathers empower their sons, they stand with their sons, and they send out their sons. Joshua needed Moses to send him out, to give him the anointing, if you like, the authority to fight that battle. And sons will fight on behalf of their father and do the hard yards. But it's a mutual relationship. Oops, put myself on the music stand. There we go. It's a mutual relationship and both are needed. Joshua couldn't fight that battle without Moses because it was the power of God in prayer that was enabling him to win. But Moses couldn't win that battle by himself without Joshua. Both are needed. And the thing about fathers and sons is there's a partnership involved. I'm noticing that a bit lately with John Alley. You know, there are things that I do for him that he couldn't do for himself. I've shared a bit about how we've been recognised by the government as a denomination to allow us to authorise ministers as marriage celebrants. And I just happen to have this administrative gifting that enables me to write out policies and procedures and work out how things should happen. And I can do that in an hour, which John could get to, but it might take him a day or a week or a month. And so we've got a mutual arrangement of giftedness there, and we need each other to make things happen. Finally, there's the issue of succession, which I couldn't actually find a P word to sort of make it all neatly alliterative. So we had presence, partnership, and then succession. Numbers 27. And this is right at the end of Moses's life. Deuteronomy. Here we go. Oh, man, sometimes the pages in your Bible will just stick together. And you can't even move. There we go. Numbers, chapter 27, 32, 31, 24, here we go, 27. Numbers 27, 12 to 23. Thought I was there. One day the Lord said to Moses, climb one of the mountains east of the river and look out at the land I've given the people of Israel. After you've seen it, you will die like your brother Aaron, for you both rebelled against my instructions in the wilderness of Zin. When the people of Israel rebelled, you failed to demonstrate my holiness to them at the waters. These are the waters of Meribah, Kadesh, and the wilderness of Zin. Then Moses said to the Lord, now he's 120 years old at this point. And God's telling him, just climb up that mountain over there so you can go and look over the Holy Land. Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, you are the God who gives breath to all creatures. Please appoint a new man as leader for the community. Give them someone who will guide them whenever they go and who will lead them into battle, so the community of the Lord will not be like sheep without a shepherd. The Lord replied, take Joshua, son of Nun, who has the spirit in him, and lay your hands on him. Present him to Eleazar, the priest, before the whole community and publicly commission him to lead the people. Transfer some of your authority to him so the whole community of Israel will obey him. When direction from the Lord is needed, Joshua will stand before Eleazar the priest, who will use the Urim, one of the sacred lots cast before the Lord, to determine his will. This is how Joshua and the rest of the community of Israel will determine everything they should do. So Moses did as the Lord commanded. He presented Joshua to Eleazar the priest and the whole community. Moses laid his hands on him and commissioned him to lead the people just as the Lord had commanded through Moses. And so a good spiritual father will have a succession plan in place, ready to leave authority and vision and the spirit to be passed on to the next generation, the next leader. So fathers provide a heritage to their sons. They equip, they bless them, and they empower them. And it's pretty good. If you have an institutional setting, what you have to do is you form a committee, if this was a church we were talking about, standard church organisation, Moses would have established a committee to find a replacement, and they would have put an ad in the Sinai Desert Times calling for applications for the job of leadership of Israel. But that's not the way it worked out. The heritage and the spirit and the authority of Moses were passed on to Joshua through the laying on of hands. And that's what fathers are supposed to do to their sons, pass on their passions and their giftedness and their authority, passing it on to the next generation. So there's no need for... often in a big church where you've got people, a bunch of people who all think they'd like to be senior pastor when the top dog carks it or retires, there's no need for that because everyone knows where they stand in relationship to each other because it's a family, not a corporation. And the other side of it too is that in a family, the young are treasured and celebrated because we know that they will soon receive all the inheritance and the blessing of God. So, the spiritual, the grace of sonship is about presence, it's about partnership, and it's about succession. The day will come when I bequeath this ministry to someone. Don't know who it's going to be yet. Don't need to know who it is yet. Got a few years. No, he didn't know till he turned 120 and God said, oh, I think you're just about cooked. So I'm expecting to be still going into my 80s. Retirement's not on the agenda. Yes, Mabel. Will I? At least. Well, there you go. So... No, I'm only 55, Mabel. That's right. Yeah? Put you up another birthday. Yeah? So anyway, when the time comes, we will know who will be my successor. And it will be a spiritual son on whom God's favour will rest. And we'll just know who's meant to be. As long as I like. Yeah. As long as I'm sound in body and spirit and mind. Yep, that's it. Yep, as long as I'm walking with God, I'm in the job. Yep. That's all right. But if you keep talking, we won't have time for morning tea. Oh, it's good motivation, isn't it? Let's sing a song. Mrs. Baxter, are you still on the floor there? We may not do a song. Oh, no, she's up. You're right. Eh? Hey?